The Archdiocese of Seattle has released the names of 77 Catholic clergy or religious order members accused of sexually abusing minors. Some of the abuses on this list date back to the 1920s. Greg Mignone is a spokesperson for the Seattle Archdiocese. He says the church has taken a number of steps over the years to address child sexual abuse by clergy.
And we're taking this step now to build on that and to increase our accountability, our transparency, and maybe most importantly, to encourage anyone that's been abused to step forward.
The Archdiocese is facing civil lawsuits over abuse of priests. What do you say to critics who think you're just trying to sway public opinion?
Well, I think our record pretty much establishes that we're sincere in our efforts. We first became aware of the problem of clergy child sexual abuse back in the late 80s. Since that time, the Archdiocese has built a record of response, and when our Archbishop came in 2010, he reviewed that response and assured that all the steps that we're taking to do background checks, to teach people how to identify and prevent clergy sexual abuse, are effective, and that we're doing all that we can. And in the course of that work, one of the things that came up was the idea of releasing the names, and it became clear that it was the right thing to do, and we decided to do it for that reason.
This list of names takes us back to the 1920s. You're saying The Archdiocese wasn't aware of this abuse until the late 1980s?
Well, you have to remember that the incidents of abuse, by and large, occurred in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, just as they did across the country.
Would you say that sexual abuse of kids, minors, has been systemic in the Catholic Church in Seattle?
No, I wouldn't. The instance of child sexual abuse is pretty much the same over that period of time, the 60s, 70s, and 80s, as it was in the general population. It was around 4%. And that's pretty similar to what happens in the general population. But we hold ourselves to a higher standard. That's in no way intended to offer an excuse for this tragedy.
How much sexual abuse do you suspect is still happening now?
This is a societal problem. Child sexual abuse is a problem that the entire society and culture needs to become aware of and needs to take action to prevent and eradicate. And what the church is doing now is it's training people that work for the church and volunteer for the church. It's training all of our clergy to identify and prevent abuse. For anyone to say that it's not a problem, they're simply not dealing with reality. It is a problem, but I think that when you take responsibility for it, when you acknowledge that it's a problem, then you can begin to address it.
The press release you sent out includes a phone number for victims to report abuse to the Archdiocese. Why would a victim call the Archdiocese instead of calling police to report a crime?
Well, there's a couple of good reasons for that. Number one, if they call our hotline and the abuse that they're reporting occurred years and years ago, it's probably beyond the statute of limitations for criminal action, and so law enforcement is not going to do anything with the allegation. If they contact us, we will conduct our own independent investigation. We have an independent investigator who's an expert in these cases, and we will have that individual investigate those in the absence of a law enforcement investigation. If the abuse is more recent, we will tell the individual to contact law enforcement. And if law enforcement does an investigation and it is not conclusive, we will conduct our own investigation until we can determine whether or not that allegation of sexual abuse is credible.
Why should victims trust the Archdiocese with their story now after the church has ignored or even tried to bury these allegations in the past?
Well, we certainly don't expect people to take our word for it. What we do expect, though, is that individuals would give us the opportunity to work with them, to provide healing, to do the kind of work that we've been doing now consistently over the last 13 years, and judge us on the merits of our actions.
We're talking with the spokesperson for the Archdiocese of Seattle, Greg Mignone. Some people have left the Catholic Church after hearing of these abuses. Why do you stay?
As I said, this is not a measure of the effect of the Catholic Church in society. The measure of the Church's response and presence in society is the fact that we are the ones who, our mission is to serve vulnerable populations. We serve the elderly, we serve the poor, and we serve children. And sadly, there was a period of time when some of those who were given that sacred trust did not honor the trust. And the Church itself and some of its leaders did not respond in the way that they should have. That is certainly true, but now we're taking responsibility for those failures of the past. We're acknowledging them. We've apologized repeatedly. And one of the things that individuals can do if they either suspect abuse or have been abused is that they can request a meeting with the Archbishop so that he can meet with them and personally offer his apologies to them.
That's Greg Mignone, a spokesperson for the Seattle Archdiocese, which has released this list of 77 clergy or religious members who are accused of sexually abusing minors in Western Washington. There is a group called Survivors Network of those abused by priests, and the Northwest director is Mary Dispenza, and she is a survivor herself. A warning here, her story might not be appropriate for all listeners. Mary Dispenza told me that when she was 7 years old in Los Angeles, her parish priest abused her while she was watching a movie.
I started walking up the center aisle, and the priest was seated next to the projector, those old-fashioned projectors, and beckoned me to come and sit on his lap. And so, of course, why would I not? And then that is when he digitally raped me. And in a way, my world stopped, and I can still imagine that movie just kind of fading out. I've often tried to say, well, what was playing? You know, I get put some of the pieces back together. And then beyond that, my memory is simply that he walked me to the back of the parish hall, left me, and I went into a very small bathroom there, and I washed my hands and in a way left half of me there and went out and back to my mom and the women in the lunchroom and never told anyone. And from that point on until age 52, I buried that and my other thought that from the second to the fourth grade, that carried on in different ways.
Mary, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Thank you.
When you first read this letter from the bishop of the Catholic Archdiocese of Seattle, you saw that list of names,
right,
of clergy and employees. What did you think?
First of all, it's long overdue. Why? And why at this time is it coming out? Did some case preclude it or force this issue for the bishops ordained to disclose the names? Did law enforcement, what actually was the reason behind it was one of my thoughts. And then another thought was, yes, it's a positive action, of course, because any time a predator is disclosed, kids are safer. And so there was I was happy that the diocese was releasing these names finally, questionable as to their motive, and wanting them to do more.
What more do you want?
Well, perhaps they could post the pictures in the parishes where these predators connected on the back parish bulletin board. And if they do know the whereabouts of a predator, to give a simple statement or two about last we knew of Father so-and-so, he is now located wherever.
Our listeners just heard the spokesperson for the Archdiocese saying, we're investigating, we're monitoring, we're using best practices to identify and prevent abuse. How satisfied are you with that?
Well, I'd like to know what best practices mean in this regard. And I have heard that the bishop said that there are no existing predators in the Archdiocese at this time. And I question that because I think there is such a degree of secrecy in the culture of the priesthood. And I think it would be impossible and an error to think that now we've released 70-some names and so we can sit back for a while and believe that we've identified everyone. I don't want the diocese or the good people in the pews to sit back and go, breathe a sigh. Oh, great. This is taken care of now. We can put that aside. We cannot put it aside because priest abuse continues to go on probably right now as we are speaking, some child or youth or vulnerable young adult is being taken advantage of by a clergy member.
What would you have liked to see the church do differently?
First, victims need to go to the police because what has happened to them is a crime, not to the church, because churches can't police themselves. I'd like to see priests expose their brother priests, not protect them. Like Dave Jaeger is listed on that list, and I worked with him, and he has since passed on, a charismatic figure, a great man, and he molested children. And what the church did mostly, the Archdiocese of Seattle, protected him. And instead, any clergy member who has committed a crime needs to be exposed, not protected. I would like the bishop to also say to his priests, and I'd like to see it in writing, I encourage all of the priests under my care, should they know anything about the involvement of another priest or even be concerned, I want to know. I've never seen that asked by the Pope and or by archbishops.
Mary Dispenza, Northwest Director for the group SNAP, Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, talking about the release of names of 77 clergy or religious members accused of sexually abusing minors in Western Washington. The Seattle Archdiocese released that list a few days ago.